So Stan Purcell is a pastor who had a conversation with one of the members of his congregation. Her name was Peg, and she was telling him about her 58-year marriage to her late husband, Bill. And she told him that one of the things that began to happen for them the longer they were married is that sometimes they would come to the end of the day and they were both worn out from work, and they would decide that they were going to go out to a restaurant for dinner, and they would sit down and they would find themselves sitting in silence because there was nothing compelling that they felt they had to talk about in that moment. And then Bill would say to Peg, A. And she would respond, B. And Bill would say, C, and Peg would respond, D. And they go on and on like that until either a conversation emerged or laughter erupted. What I love about that story is that it reminds us that even the longest of relationships require intentionality. And sometimes they even require a little bit of ritual. Because no relationship just happens. Even and most especially our relationship with God. So we're concluding our 3-week worship series that we've called Rules for the Road. This worship series came out of an awareness that we're all on a road together as a community of faith, as people in the world. We're all on a road together. But these days it seems like the road is marked by lots of opportunity for things to disagree about. We can disagree about the effects of climate change. We can disagree about what is the proper response to the migrant crisis. We can disagree about whether that teenager wearing the Make America Great hat on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial was smirking or smiling. We can disagree about whether Jerry Jones should fire Jason Garrett. There's a lot that we could potentially disagree about. There's a lot that we can potentially disagree about as people of faith, as we are the church together. We have this big global meeting of the United Methodist Church called the General Conference at the end of February. We've been talking about that for the past couple of weeks. We had a special presentation at 9:45 this morning about what's going to happen there. The issue is, the one issue that's going to be addressed is the issue of how the United Methodist Church will engage with the LGBTQT population. There's a lot of disagreement about how that's supposed to happen. And so I know that we are people of faith and we want to engage in these places of disagreement out of a place of faith. We're looking for guidance about how to do that. And what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks is that we have guidance that comes from the 18th century. From the father of Methodism, John Wesley, from his general rules for the United Societies of the Methodist Movement. These were rules that guided the way the people who understood themselves to be part of that movement, the people who came to be known as Methodists, how they were going to be together, how they were going to live together, how they were going to be in the world. So those rules were written in the 18th century. Several years ago, United Methodist Bishop Reuben Jobe took those rules and brought them into 21st century language. And we have been working through his way of understanding these rules. And the first rule that we looked at 2 weeks ago is the rule, do no harm. And what we came to understand is that do no harm doesn't just mean I'm not going to hit back. It means I make a conscious decision that I'm not going to pass along the harm done to me. I'm going to make a conscious decision that I'm not going to return hurt for hurt, evil for evil. So then last week, we looked at the second rule, which is do good. And what we talked about last week is that doing good is to be our way of life. It's what we were created for, because we know that we are created in the image of God, and God is good. And so therefore, we are wired to do good because we have the image of God in us. And sometimes the starting point for doing good is to see in others the image of God. To see even the image of God in those with whom we disagree. So those first two rules are really about our relationship with other people. And the third rule is about our relationship with God. Reuben Job has simplified it that it is the rule to stay in love with God. Now, Jesus knew the importance of loving God first. Jesus knew that there was no way that he could complete his mission unless he was intimately connected in that love relationship with his Abba Father. And there are lots of stories in the Gospels about Jesus going apart intentionally to be in communion with his Abba Father. But there are also many places where Jesus reiterates the importance of us loving God first as well. And you may recall that in the Gospels, there's a story of someone coming and asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And you probably know what he says. He says, the most important commandment is this: listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Those words come almost directly from this reading from Deuteronomy that Ed read to us today. This reading from Deuteronomy is known as the Shema. That's the Hebrew word for the word listen or hear. And it's how this reading begins. Listen, hear. And the Shema is the most basic creedal statement for all Jews everywhere in all times and all places. The people of Israel were given this commandment as they are on the cusp of entering into the promised land. A land that was filled with people who acknowledged and worshiped a whole multiplicity of gods. And the Shema challenges the Hebrew people to assert clearly and specifically that God is their one and only. And they are to do it by loving God with heart and soul and strength. For the heart for the Hebrew people is the seat of intellect. And the soul is the very core of one's being. And then strength, this is a very interesting word. Because some places you see this translated as might. Other places you see this Hebrew word translated and it's more like your property. Your stuff. The stuff you got around you. And that's really intriguing to me. I just want to say parenthetically, what might it look like if we're to love God first with our stuff? What might it look like to love God first with our assets, with our property, with our resources? Now, I could preach a whole sermon on just that. I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to put that out there and let y'all think about that for a while. And we may come back to that some other time. What I want to move on to is that then the writer of Deuteronomy goes on to give some specific directions about how they're supposed to do this. Because this loving God first, having God as your one and only, that's not just a feeling. That's not just emotions. It's action. And so if you move on, we didn't read this part, but if you move on through Deuteronomy, it says, and this is how Eugene Peterson paraphrases it in the message, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you. And then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. This way of God as one and only is to be all around them all the time. And in their witness and in their teaching and in the way they interact with others and what they show to other people. And those practices will help sustain the love between Yahweh and Yahweh's people. So John Wesley, in his general rules, he has some specifics as well about how we might do this. So let me read to you how he wrote about this in the 18th century. It is expected of all who desire to continue in these societies that they should continue to evidence their desire of salvation. Thirdly, by attending upon all the ordinances of God, such are the public worship of God, the ministry of the word, either read or expounded, the supper of the Lord, family and private prayer, searching the scriptures, fasting or abstinence. So the way we use ordinances now in 2019 is different from how John Wesley was talking about using the word ordinances. Ordinances were practices. It was a rule of life. And what he has here is the best practices for those who were part of those societies in the early church. They're practices that help us to stay in love with God. So I was thinking about this concept of staying in love. And, you know, if you go out there and Google the phrase, how to stay in love with your spouse or your significant other or some other sort of relationship, let me just tell you, there are pages and pages and pages and pages of stuff out there on the internet, blogs and articles and opinions and websites and books. As I looked at some of them, I distilled it down to, I think, four best practices for staying in love with someone. One is make sure you talk to each other. Set time aside in each day to debrief your day together. Second one is share meals. Share meals. The third is consider the other person's needs before your own. Be willing to sacrifice for the other. The fourth is learn what the other person is passionate about. Learn what makes them tick. Learn what they love to do and then do it with them. Well, I think what we have in Wesley's general rules are best practices that sort of mirror some of those best practices for staying in love with your significant other. And in February, we're going to move through another worship series that we're calling Stay in Love with God. And we're going to look at some of those best practices each week. We're going to look at how prayer, communicating with the one you love, how prayer can help us to stay in love with God. We're going to look at how worship and the Lord's Supper, sharing a meal and sharing what God loves, how that will help us stay in love with God. We're even going to look at fasting or abstinence and see how sacrifice, giving something up, can help us stay in love with God. And we're going to look at searching the scriptures and how that can help us get to know God better and know what God loves and how that can help us stay in love with God. Because you see, my friends, staying in love with God is the primary issue of the faithful life. And being consistent in these best practices, they help us to stay connected to the one we're following. They help us stay connected to Christ. And they teach us how to live in harmony with something bigger than ourselves. Way bigger than anything the world can say is ultimate. And they include actions that address the pain and the injustice and the brokenness that marks our world, because loving God means it is impossible not to long for God's grace and goodness in the world. And when we stay in love with God, we stand where God stands, challenging all behaviors that deny full dignity to all people in all places in all times. These rules for the road, they're challenging. They may seem simple, but they really are challenging. But the good news is, my friends, when we allow these rules for the road to shape our lives, when we are willing to do no harm, to do good, to stay in love with God, then we will be equipped with courage and strength and direction to walk with faith and integrity on this road we're on together. the way of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen.